It's really too bad that Bekele has no passion, no vision. What a joy to work with him. And let me say one more thing, this addressed to Jenny. Thank you so much for reminding us that what we do is not complicated, but it is, by God's grace, profound in its impact. Thank you, Jenny. You know, winning and building and sending works, and it counts for eternity. And that's what you do. I want to talk to you tonight about the importance of partnership. And I want to start by giving you a very simple example. It's small, but in another way, it's big. It occurred in the late 1970s, but I'll never forget it. There were a group of us working on a project for a conference that was coming up that weekend, and I think it was Wednesday when we were working, and by Friday we had to have a case explaining to people why they might consider giving us $1 million. You know, that'd be some case. It hadn't been done for whatever reason, and there were several of us working, and we didn't have anybody to type it. And so our personnel department sent down to us for that day a new staff woman named Jill Hooper, Jill Beeler now. And she worked with us all day long, but by the time we broke for supper and she left for home, we weren't nearly done. We got a bite to eat, came back together and said, I don't know how we're going to do this. It's going to be an all-nighter for sure. And just about the time we got started, in walks Jill. Nobody asked her to come back. She just volunteered. She said, well, I'm here all night if needed. Let's go. And I'll tell you what, that inspired the rest of us. We did get the case done. It was presented to these people, and we asked them for millions of dollars, and millions of dollars were raised in that next weekend, in part, no small part, because of Jill Hooper's partnership with us. Now, I'd like to share with you some very exciting reasons why partnership is important, especially today. It is compelling today. And the reason is because God is moving today. Now, I'm going to share some statistics with you. I'm going to share some stories that are big and probably outside the experience of most of what you're doing in ministry. But I do that on purpose because I want you to sense the scope of what God is doing in the world today. And Jenny, if I could address you one more time, the harvest is happening in many, many places. First, in the translation of the Bible, I mean, how can you have anything in long term in a language, in a culture, without the Bible, at least a part of the Bible, right? Do you know how many languages there are on earth? 7,000 languages. As Renee was sharing last night, I think she said the Sunni language had gone out, but I think it's one of the 7,000, Renee. Do you know how many of those 7,000 languages have enough of the Bible to do evangelism and discipleship and plant churches and so on? Only 3,000 of the 7,000. Now, what about the remaining 4,000? Well, of them, something over 2,200 do have progress happening. There's a team of people working on those languages. They just haven't gotten to the point where there's enough. So, wow, that still leaves something less than 1,800 left to work on, and nobody's working on it. Well, God is doing some pretty amazing things, and he's brought new techniques to be able to accomplish translation. They translate in clusters. They take maybe 10 languages at a time, and then, get this, they use artificial intelligence to help translate the Bible. That almost sounds sinful, but it isn't if you think about it. What they do with this cluster is they pick a language that does have a lot of the Bible, and it's similar in grammar and syntax and vocabulary to the languages in the cluster, and they let the computer, with what it knows about some of the new languages, project the translation of the next chapter. I mean, can you believe it? And as time goes on, it gets better and better at its projection. Now, obviously, human beings have to tweak that, but that greatly accelerates how fast translation can be done, such that the experts in the field, every tribe, every nation is a consortium of about 10 of the biggest translation agencies. They predict, and I think this is rather conservative for reasons I'll share with you a little later, they project that there will be enough Bible for the church to evangelize and disciple, etc. There will be enough Bible in every one of the 7,000 languages on earth no later than the year 2033. Do you see the significance of that? There have never been parts of the Bible in every language on earth, but in our lifetimes it will happen. God is moving today. History is being made. Let me go on. Next category. Engaging, unengaged, unreached people groups. I already talked about that this morning. I mentioned the incredible progress in the last 11 years from 639 of the largest unengaged groups down to 6 that are left unengaged. I mentioned that this morning. What I didn't tell you is that there are really only 1,500 unengaged groups left. You say 1,500 sounds like a big number. But then I want to tell you 350 of them are being engaged every year. Now here's what I want to share with you. Within 5 years, if you want to do the math, there will be no more unengaged people in the entire earth. That's never happened in the history of time. Third category, planting churches. You just saw some tremendous illustrations of that. I won't take as much time as I might have otherwise. Not only that 1 million that Bekele talked about that have been planted by involvement of us and the Global Alliance for Church Multiplication, but if you carefully carve out and don't double count, the Jesus Film has also been involved in the last 7 years in it planting 1 million more churches through partnership. Let me give you an illustration. Tanzania. In March 2016, a first-generation church was planted. June 5th, a second-generation church was planted from that first one. July 24th, a third generation was planted. August 5th, a fourth generation was planted, and who knows how many have been planted since that time. God is moving through the very same thing we do on campus, we do in cities, by spiritual multiplication. You see, missions can launch, but they can't finish. Only people on the ground can not just win, but build and do the very things Jenny was talking about and disciple and send people. It's happening. And what I just described in Tanzania happened in one of the most unreached areas of the entire country. Another category, the spreading of the Jesus Film. I was at an incredible celebration of the 1,500th translation of the Jesus Film. No other film in the history of time has been translated into 1,500 languages. They had a survey done not too long ago and discovered what they really didn't know for sure before, because you can't get all the reports you want, that the Jesus Film has had a cumulative audience. Now, this is not unique individuals, as you'll see when I give you the figure, but a cumulative audience of 7.5 billion. Yeah, some of them watched the film twice. I have too, okay? But even if you divide it in half, that's a lot of folks, right? And 490 million people have indicated decisions for Jesus Christ through the Jesus Film. Now, I could give you so many illustrations. I'll just give you one. It occurred in the Solomon Islands in the South Pacific. There was a group that was doing Jesus Film showings, and they wanted to go to this one particular village. But they were warned, don't go to that village because they're in a land dispute with a nearby village and a war is going to break out any day now. Don't go there. Well, they dropped to their knees and they prayed. And the next morning they said, no, we're going. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We're going. They went. 900 people with some apprehension gathered together to watch this film. And as darkness fell, they began to watch the film. Unbeknownst to them, 30 warriors from the nearby village came by canoe and parked very close to where the crowd was, started sneaking their way up to be closer, right to the back of where the showing was. But they made one fatal mistake. They started to watch the film. And God touched their hearts. And so at the end of the showing, of the original 900, 450 indicated decisions for Christ, plus the 30 warriors came to Christ as well. And within a very short period of time, there was reconciliation between the two villages. God is moving today. Give you another example. You're probably asking, when are you going to get to the campus? I'm there right now. Launching new campuses. Do you have any idea how many new campuses we launched in the last year? I mean, by God's grace, not counting whatever InterVarsity might have launched, which is many, I'm sure, and others. 1,000 campuses last year. And most of that occurred by what would commonly be called catalytic students going out and opening nearby campuses. In some places it's called hybrid, in some places it's called expedition, but by whatever name, it's getting done. And I'll give you an illustration that occurred in the country of Vanuatu. You hear about that in different ways on TV, but Vanuatu had something else happen that didn't make the news. 4 staff and 10 students from Fiji flew to Vanuatu on a project to try to launch campuses, just like I've been talking about. And when they got there, one of the invitations they had was to go to Vanuatu Teachers College. And when several of the group got to the Teachers College, there was this big sign in the lobby that said, people from Campus Crusade for Christ are going to be here today and tomorrow in room such and such from 10 to 2, and they want to share their faith in Christ with you. Please meet up with them. Just like the reception you get on your college campus, right? Oh, man, I love that story. So they went to the place, first day, and there were 20 students waiting for them already. But that wasn't the end of it. The partition was folded back, and there were 20 more students in the next room over. All 40 of them indicated decisions for Jesus Christ. God is moving today. Last area that I'm going to mention along these lines is expanding digital strategies. Do you know that 18 million people downloaded Josh McDowell materials last year? 18 million people. Did you know on some evangelistic website or another, not just through us but others, 1 billion or more people have visited those sites in the last several years, and plans for as much of the earth as is on the internet to do so. But what particularly was exciting to me is something that I visited right at our headquarters several months ago. It's called the Digital War Room. We're not settling for current strategies. We're not settling that God Tools is in 59 languages. We're not settling that everystudent.com has the highest follow-up rate of any internet ministry that I know. 40 to 45% go into the follow-up process. That's envious even if you're in on the ground ministry, right? No, we're not settling for that. And I watched this group, and they explained to us in the last week something they'd done that they call sprints. Now, this is a little different than what you might think of when I say the word sprints, but they had an experiment they had in mind. It had to do with attracting college students to our movement through their parents, just like Jenny was talking about, I want my son to connect with somebody just like she did. And we were experimenting with how do we get that to work? How do we get the name? How do we really get that to work? Well, they lined up 6 experiments in 1 week. That's why they call it a sprint. One day you got to conduct the first experiment. The first 4 failed. It didn't work. Couldn't get the response. The next one was sort of okay, and the last one was better than they expected. And I guess what I'm saying to you is, it's not over yet. It's going to keep improving, and we're not the only one experimenting with how to use digital strategies. God is moving in the digital world. Yes, God is moving today. And what I want you to sense, which is utterly true, is that the Great Commission is within our grasp as a body of Christ. It's within our grasp. Oh, and by the way, we, because of God's calling and because of his capacity that he's given us, we get to be right in the thick of it. How exciting is that? Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice how central partnership is in this. You've already heard a lot about this. So I'll just hit it lightly. Translating the Bible, for example. Now, I'm just going to tell you a story. I don't know how publicly this has been announced. It's not intended to be private, but it surely won't be after tonight. I've become very good friends with the founder of YWAM. I think after Bill died, he just kind of transferred his loyalty and relationship with us to me. And I know that the burden of his heart has been through the years to end Bible poverty, the very thing I was talking about earlier in translating the Bible. And God gave him an idea. He'd watched Table 71. He's in our meetings oftentimes. And he approached me one time in February. He said, "Steve, I got an idea. You know those 1,776 languages as of last fall, less than 1,800, that have nothing going on, no translation project?" He said, "I'd like to form a partnership with Wycliffe and the Wycliffe partners, with you, especially the Jesus film, and with us and YWAM. We will supply 5,000 people over a period of years. And we'd like you and the Jesus film to teach those people how to dub a translation into a Jesus film. And we're going to work with Wycliffe to get enough of the Bible to be able to do that. What do you think?" I don't think I took 5 seconds to say, "Lauren, we're in." I didn't even talk to the Jesus film yet, but I said, "Lauren, we're in. We're going to do this." And you know what? Eric Schenkel would tell you, the director of the Jesus film, this is pretty stretching, but by God's grace, it is going to happen, and we will do our part so that the Christmas present we will present to Jesus in Christmas 2020 we're shooting for will be all 1,776 languages. We'll have enough of the Bible for the church to do business, and including the Jesus film. That's in translating the Jesus film. Let me show you a story by video of how partnership works at the grassroots level after the translations exist. I'd like them to roll the video.
Our involvement with the Church of the Nazarene has been one of the most rewarding partnerships of any we've been involved in all the history of the Jesus Film Project. And I think it's because of the heart of the people of the Church of the Nazarene to go where nobody's gone before, to send their missionaries to the most remote spots on the face of the earth.
I'd never really seen the Jesus film as an evangelistic tool. When they made the presentation, I could see this as something that could explode the growth of the church and really give us an edge on reaching new people for Christ.
And I remember when Dr. Bussell came to our offices in California, I said, we would like to underwrite the cost of 100 sets of equipment if you and the mission board could underwrite the cost of the workers. It cost about $5,000 each, so I was making a $500,000 commitment. And we talked about that a little bit, and then the question was, well, where? And we were sitting by this big map in the Jesus Project boardroom, and I was near the Caribbean, and I said, for example, we don't have any film teams at all in the Caribbean. And Dr. Bussell said, oh, we've got 23 or 24 teams down there in those islands. I said, well, that's a great place to begin. We have nothing going. And then I looked over to Africa, and I said, you know, the Cape Verde Islands over there, we have nobody there at all. And Dr. Bussell said, oh, well, we've got three teams over there. And I said, Louis, why don't you just go and tell us where on the map would be a good place for you?
So I started on one side of the big map of the world, and just off the top of my head, I was just naming this area of the world and this area that we could use so many. By the time I reached the other end of the map, I'd put down 179 teams. And Paul said, "Whoa, you're talking 200 teams. That's $1 million. And I said, "We'll take it." And I was really excited when they said, "We'll do it."
I think the thing that made the partnership so effective was that we both had the same desire.
I think this is the greatest tool that God has given the church in these years. And I'm just glad that the Church of the Nazarene was a part of using this tool to build the kingdom of God.
You see, partnership is right at the center of all this action of what God's doing. But why should we be surprised? Didn't Jake unpack for us Monday morning? John 17, it is God's intention that we work together so that the world may know and believe that the Father sent the Son. You see, the body of Christ, from my observation, today, unlike 20 years ago, but today is poised to work together to get the Great Commission totally fulfilled. It's happening. It's happening. So, it is crucial that we and others like are with us this weekend learn to partner well. Now, you've heard a lot about this already, but I'd like to emphasize three critical points from my personal experience in partnership. The first is common vision. You've heard so much talk with partnership, it almost sounds like you just partner with anybody that just happens to walk along. No, that's not exactly true. It is pointless to partner with somebody that just doesn't want to even go the same direction. That's pointless. You need to partner with people that are going the same direction. That's what happened in Table 71. There was a common bond around the number zero, unengaged people. But I'm going to give you a couple illustrations right here from the U.S. ministries, all right? There are a number of people with us tonight who are either pastors or come here mainly because they're members of churches that like to work with us or would like to work with us, all right? What kind of needs would they have in their congregation? Well, for one thing, they need for their families to become tight, to stay together, to grow. Well, we've got a ministry that provides materials on how to do that. It's called Family Life Ministry, praise the Lord. And they have a highly transferable video conference called The Art of Marriage. And when it was launched, I remember the first story I heard about this was when a couple in southern Missouri heard about this Art of Marriage. They had a vision for doing something about it. Their church had a vision for doing something about it. They got trained in the very first conference that they scheduled. From their church alone, 75 couples came. And then a few months later, 150 couples came. And then not long after that, some of the couples came from other churches. And then they went on and had 50 couples from their church, and on it went. Family life has a material. Church has the people in need. What a natural opportunity with a common vision. That's my point. That's family life. AIA. I knew I'd get a few whoops about that, even from Emma. I'm kind of expecting, okay? And they have done some projects down in Brazil because there have been a couple of big sporting events. And they have a strategy. They have a strategy that can equip a church where they train what they call athletic associates, all right? And they show those associates to work in the context of a church to create outreach to people using sports. Not necessarily just athletes, but using sports. Not a new thing for AIA. They've been doing that forever. And there's this one church down in Rio while they were there that had 30 people in their youth group. 30 people, kids, young people. And they started doing this, and for 3 years, and they now have 150 people as a result of the ministry of partnership with AIA. Let me give you one final example, campus ministry. It occurred at Flagstaff Community College. I know you all know all about Flagstaff Community College, right? And one of our former staff, Dan Barton, is a pastor there, and he asked if there was some way that some of his students from his youth group could go to an event, a winter conference. And we said, sure, that's great. So 10 of the people went, came back turned on for prayer and evangelism, and to hear him tell the story, life has not been the sense in the, it's the same in their youth group. And it has greatly grown where people, they don't know too much yet. They just have one Christmas conference under their belt. But they're changing the youth group in their church. You see, God is using us because of a common vision. Second point, I have found a critical key to successful partnership is unselfish humility. I'm going to give you one illustration. It's of another organization. It's called the Seed Company. I introduced you to a person this morning, Roy Peterson, who was the president of the Seed Company for a number of years. And they had an extremely successful fundraising event in the year 2014. They called it Illuminations. See the Illuma light nations. And they, Joe, I got to work on my puns here. Okay. And they had 100 couples come and they raised $20 million in one conference. Not bad, not bad for one conference, okay? You'd like that for personal support, right? Well, that would pretty well handle a good lot of us, right? But here's what they decided. They decided we need to share this with other translation organizations. And so the next year, Illuminations was opened to each of the major translation agencies. They could bring their donors, but mainly the people that came were Seed Company donors. For circumstantial reasons, there were only 60 couples that came to that particular event, but they still raised another $20 million. That's unselfish, to open your donor base to all sorts of other organizations. You've heard that mentioned before. God uses that. There's one last thing that I found is absolutely critical to partnership, and that is commitment to action. Commitment to action. The difference between a committee and a partnership is this point. Committee, you can talk about something and publish the minutes. Not in a partnership. You know the byline of Table 71? Let's just do it. Let's stop talking. Let's just do it. Kelly mentioned I was going to tell something about Operation Sunrise Africa. Well, here's where it's going to happen, okay? He said, what are you talking about? Well, as he became what we called our Director of Affairs for Southern and Eastern Africa, he had a vision from God to reach 50 million people in 50 cities in 50 days. He said, that's bizarre. That's impossible. But you just listen to Bekele. I mean, doesn't that make sense that that would come from Bekele's lips? Well, they started talking about it with people, and they started bleeding that blood he was talking about with people. And do you know how many task forces were involved in all these countries in Southern and Eastern Africa to make this happen? 2,000 task forces. It boggles my organizational mind to even think about 2,000 task forces. And they involved 500,000 people in 21,000 churches. And they didn't make the goal. They only saw 64.5 million people reached, and 1.7 million people indicated decisions for Christ. Churches tripled in size because, and in fact, there's one that was standing room only. They had to enlarge their facility just because of Operation Sunrise in 50 days. There's a lot of exciting stories I could tell you, but I'll just tell you one. There was this fighter, you know, pugilist, and his name was Gatuchu. And he wasn't a Christian, and he went to a Jesus film showing to make some havoc with the Jesus film. And he made a mistake just like the Solomon Island Warriors. He listened to the film, came to Christ, and he shared Christ in a very short period of time with 100 people, of which 50 came to Christ. Now, when a fighter approaches you, you know, I've got to throw in a little factor there that maybe more would respond, but still. And here's my closing point with you. Dream of what God could do through you. I just want you to pause for a moment. Dream of what God could do through you. Your whole campus, not just 150 people in the weekly meeting. Your whole city, not just a part where you are. Your whole world, Do you know what we're dreaming about as a movement? Not just us, but our partners and everything. We're dreaming about 5 million churches or multiplying movements, we might call them, on campus. And Bekele mentioned that number. We're dreaming of that. And we're already, just in the ones we have something to do with, seeing 2 million. And I happen to know another part of the body of Christ has seen another million. We're way on our way. Soon there will be a church for every 1,000 people on earth. And as I said earlier, we get to be a part of that dream. No, we can't do that alone. But together, by God's grace and through his power, we can see it done. The great missionary statesman Hudson Taylor put it this way: I have found in great endeavors for God there are 3 stages. First, it's impossible. Second, it's difficult. And third, it's done. Let's pray. Father, oh my, what a privilege you've given us to be alive and in ministry and trained in the strategies and training and materials, not just we have, but others have. Help us to trust you together that soon the Great Commission will be totally done. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.